Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. It is Thursday. What is this Thursday? Why is it important to Al? Well, this puts Al a week and a half from moving to Seattle, which I'm looking forward to doing. Eddie, I know that you made a comment, which I really appreciate. You said it's too bad that you have to move to Seattle. But, you know, my situation up there is going to be a hell of a lot different than a lot of other people. I'm actually going to enjoy it. I got a couple of grand, grandchildren there, and I got a lot of kids there, so it's kind of going to be a good thing. I want to talk about something else, though, and then I'm going to turn it over to Jimmy here, but we keep getting comments about how President Biden is really doing things that we just don't understand, I think is a good way to put it. And I want to say that nobody just doesn't understand that any more so than me. I cannot understand how his son can get away with what he gets away with, because that actually is putting aspects of our country at risk. I'd like to get a comment from Jimmy on that one. Would you agree with me, Jim?
So I think the relationship that the Hunter Biden the Biden family overall had with the Chinese government, I think the influence that was bought, I think this whole issue of classified documents and who had access to them, the Chinese government funding the Penn Center at University of Pennsylvania, the Ukrainian Burisma deal, all these issues. I mean, Joe Biden has been trading on his name his entire life. Hunter Biden took advantage of it, but they're working together on this with Jim Biden. And I guess his other brother as well. I think it's Frank. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So
his whole family's been trading off of this forever.
That is just amazing to me that the government lets that continue. I'm amazed. I got to tell you, Jimmy, I am amazed that the FBI is involved in this thing and the Department of Justice is involved in this thing. I don't think that makes us look good, man.
No, it looks pathetic. And from the outside world looking in, it's an embarrassing, this administration, the Obama administration, the Bush administration had always gone around, talked about how, they're supporting anti-corruption activities, that they're, pushing these, requirements on people for support and funding. Trump said, hey, you know what? That's not how we're going to look at the world. We're going to look at it a little more pragmatically. But the Bidens said, oh, no, we're going to go back to this. When it turns out that there's a whole lot of things going underground. The Clintons were terrible at using their position and taking, financial advantage of that. And I know from personal experience what they did after they got out of office and how much money they made by just going around and talking and pretending to do something. When in fact, so it's a corrupt system. It's a corrupt system in Washington, a terribly corrupt system in Washington. And one of the key players in this has been Joe Biden and his family all along.
Yeah.
And that is risking not only our reputation, but directly risking our national security issues in Washington or in Ukraine. And of course, what happened in Afghanistan. There's just so much evidence of it. And people have to wake up to it.
I mean, I know people have to wake up with it, but when you have something as obvious as that, and it's pretty damn obvious, Jimmy, when you have something as obvious as that, why doesn't the country wake up, for God's sakes?
Well, because he's being supported by the Department of Justice, by Homeland Security, by the media, most importantly, the big corporations that influence the media in order to protect him because of their ability to buy influence with this government. And it's ideologically driven. It's terrible.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible. Yesterday was an interesting day, yesterday being Wednesday. What do you think, Jimmy, about we should talk about this morning here?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I did want to address one of the comments. I had made yesterday's show. I talked about Russia being more corrupt statistically than Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure that the people that are questioning that take a good look at what has happened in Russia since Putin came to power.
Yeah.
And what has happened throughout the Soviet times and then since then, without the understanding exactly how he came to power. The apartment bombings when he was prime minister in 1999 and 2000. The questions about what actually happened there. When you start looking at the consolidation of manufacturing facilities by former KGB officers and close confidants of Putin, how he took the major industries and the leadership from major industries like Khodorkovsky, who was Gazprom, and basically imprisoned opposition and then consolidated that, absolutely shows how corrupt the system is in Russia. Now, if you're not aware of it or you're following some, you know, right-wing stupid blogs, you think, oh, wait, you know, everybody's just against Russia and he's fighting for himself. Well, he is fighting for himself. He's not fighting for everybody else's interest. And when you start looking at the details, read Calamity in the Caucasus, Chechnya, Calamity in the Caucasus, read about the corruption in energy there, read Red Notice. These are important books to understand what goes on behind the curtain in Moscow. And, you know, there's been literally, I think, nearly 100 journalists that have been murdered since Putin's been in power because they were reporting negatively on him. So what type of, you know, silencing of voices is that? It's illegal to complain in Moscow or in Russia right now about or to make any negative claims about the war in Ukraine. You know, people are being arrested. They did mass arrests. They've shut down that. And oh, by the way, Russia invaded its sovereign neighbor. So, you know, the people that are unwilling to open their mind and look at corruption across the board, it's here in the United States, it's in France, it's in Germany, it's in Ukraine, and it's in Russia. But one of the premier... certainly it's in China. It happens everywhere. How much influence it has and how and using power in order to intimidate your neighbors, absolutely, in my view, is unjustifiable for us, for the United States, for anybody.
Yeah, I agree with that. I am amazed, actually. You know, people get angry because either you or I might make a mention of something about corruption in Russia or corruption in Spain or what have you, you know. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to see some corruption front and center, look at the actions of our president and his son. Look at that.
No, absolutely. This is a perfect example. And of course, you know, there would be all kinds of arguments against Donald Trump from the right, from the left, when they were attacking him and claiming all kinds of corruption. It turns out that most of that was fabricated. The Russia collusion narrative, his tax issues, all these things have turned out to be false identifiers, because he just was trying to serve the nation, and he was looking. He knew Donald Trump understood the corruption that was driving D.C., and he was tired of it. Barack Obama has just taken advantage of it. And you know what they're doing? They're dividing us. They're using race. They're using all types of this gender ideology. They're using all types of different methods to divide us in order for their groups to take power. And when I hear people like Adam Schiff, the congressman from California, saying, oh, it's, you know, the nation's at stake because they're just, the Republicans are just trying to take power. It's them calling, you know, I mean, it's the kettle calling
the kettle black.
Exactly. It's just insane. They are so over the top in pushing these ideological agendas that divide and, you know, just crush people's spirit. And crush our nation's economy and crush our national security. It's incredibly frustrating to hear it.
Well, you know, Jimmy, one thing I'd like to talk about right now, you talk about the degradation of America, for lack of better terms, and I have, my bandwagon has always been morals, okay? And I'm, when I talk about morals, I talk about biblical morals, you know, and I got to tell you, you know, you talk a lot about this gentrification thing. I am absolutely amazed that is part of our society today. I mean, I have people who I know who are incredibly progressive, for lack of better terms, And they think I'm basically an ignorant criminal when I talk about this gentrification issues. When I talk about virtually anything, you know, when it comes to that, they are so set in their ways. You know, if a little 8-year-old boy wants to be a little 8-year-old girl, these people are saying, so what's wrong with that? My response is, an 8-year-old doesn't know what he or she wants.
Yeah, exactly. And the long-term implications for these 8-year-olds trying to make decisions, you know, certainly don't want to, you know, an 18-year-old to have a gun. You know, most places have outlawed that.
Yeah.
They don't let you drink until you're 21 anywhere,
right?
Because you don't make good decisions.
Right.
But of course, let's go ahead and have you vote or make a decision about your entire future and gender and have you, you know, because you feel like you may want to be a boy today.
Yeah.
There's so much information out there.
Yep.
In the media and in this liberal ideological battle struggle, it's good versus evil.
Yeah,
that are pushing these agendas right now. It's undermining and actually just damaging these children for life.
I agree.
Thousands of them.
Yeah.
And of course, it turns out, Al, that there's an article in The Federalist today. I think it's a very, very good article, or yesterday, that talks about the studies that were used to justify this gender dysphoria policies that have come forward in the United States. The studies were Dutch studies in 2011 and 2014 that kind of drove this agenda that, oh, wait, you've got to treat these children with gender dysphoria, give them puberty blockers, go ahead and give them these castration drugs, go ahead and mutilate them through surgery.
Yeah.
It turns out that these studies, that the two studies never followed up to see what the impact of the research was. They were very selective on what they looked at. So they were invalid, bad studies. But they've been used by the medical industry in the United States to justify massive expenditures for these treatments for children and huge insurance costs that are basically destroying and mutilating children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
The children, the kids, they don't know. They're young. They're figuring it out. They, you know, tomboy or, you know, a little bit effeminate when you're young.
Yeah.
Things change. Yeah. You've got to grow up. You've got to go through puberty. But they're stopping that early. It's very, just unbelievably damaging to society and damaging to these children. And it needs to be stopped. It needs to be outlawed.
Well, what I got to tell you, Jimmy, is I think I have thought for a long time, I would say going back to 1965, that the thing that's going to bring this country down eventually is the absolute, I'm trying to find the right word to use here. It's not degradation, but the absolute lack of morals in the United States. That's incredible to me, Jim. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we've lost. I mean, it's been... We've diminished our moral standards for a long time, but we've just lost it because we're losing faith in something higher. We're losing faith in God. Mm-hmm. We're losing faith that somebody else is looking down on us, that we may. I mean, people are just don't believe that they're going to pay a penalty in an afterlife.
Yeah.
And when you lose that, sense of responsibility, you lose the sense of responsibility to others.
Right.
And you start making decisions that are based on my self-interest alone, your own self-interest.
Yeah.
And whatever it takes to make me short-term happy. And who cares about anybody else?
Right.
And it's about power. It's about influence. And it's basically trying to make everybody the same. And that's not possible.
No, it's not.
It's destructive.
Not even close, Jim.
And history has proven over and over again that this is a failure. But for some reason, we don't teach it. And people don't understand what the implications are for this type of Marxist ideology that has been so damaging to the world and killed so many people.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. I don't know. You know, my favorite saying at the age of 79, almost 80, my favorite saying is, life would be so much simpler and so good if people just followed the teachings in both the Old and the New Testament. I really believe that. It just seems, I don't understand why people don't do that, Jimmy. I just don't.
Yeah. I don't either.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why. I mean, I guess I do understand it because, look, our base self, you know, those kind of corruption that the devil that's in each of us.
Yeah.
Is being loosed by these ideologies in these people.
Oh, and, I agree.
And,
sure.
And without any repercussions, you know,
yeah.
You're not paying any price for it. And of course, where we have had a moral code that kept people from doing dumb things,
yeah,
or destructive things,
yeah.
In many cases, the moral codes have been weakened.
Yeah,
it's now you depend on the state. State's supposed to dictate to you what's right and wrong.
Right,
and the state, actually, rather than having a moral code, the state will only penalize you if you get caught.
Yeah. Which is really funny.
Pardon me?
That's really kind of funny.
Yeah, because, and of course, people take advantage of it, especially
yeah,
when you defund the police.
Yeah.
But when you're a, you know, if you're a believer and you think that, you know, you're going to be punished in hell for doing bad things to other people.
Yeah.
That's a bigger purpose, and you don't need someone else to tell you, you know, the state. You don't need the state to tell you what's right or wrong.
Yeah, I agree. 1,000%.
That's the problem that we face in society today.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And unfortunately, it started here when the government really possibly made a big mistake, and some of the younger people who were very bright realized what that mistake was. But anyway, all on the hands of the Democrats, I have to say, also, which is kind of interesting. Jimmy, where do you want to go from here? We've been talking for roughly 16, 17 minutes. Where do you want to take it?
Well, you know, I guess just looking at the economy today, the Fed raised a quarter point in...
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yesterday, they raised a quarter point in interest rates.
Yeah.
So that they're believing that inflation is going down, but when you look, the big driver that brought inflation down a couple of percentage points last month was energy costs.
You bet.
But what have we seen with energy in the last month? It's up 40 cents on average a gallon, which is actually equivalent to about, you know, I don't know, somewhere around 20 or 30%. So does that mean I would be very cautious about predicting lower inflation as energy prices go up and we still have supply chain issues and we still have shortages around the country, especially in food prices.
I don't disagree. The food prices are really amazing to me. But in terms of the energy prices, let me ask you a question. Do you have that windmill attached to the roof of your car yet?
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, I don't.
There you go. You're part of the problem.
I know, and I need. I'm going to go ahead and put a lithium mine in my backyard too.
A what?
Lithium mine.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what it's going to take for people to survive on the idiocy of this green push.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting point on that probably people don't realize. So the EU right now. They're very angry at the latest bill, you know, the $1.7 trillion bill that the Biden administration got pushed through because it subsidizes green energy.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? In our trade deals with the EU, it's like we're not supposed to be doing that. So they're like, well, wait a second. We're going to have to subsidize our industries or we have to figure out something else. So it's really put the European Union partnership in jeopardy. It's incredibly stupid. And the Biden administration, you're not hearing anything on this in national news, but the European Union is about ready to throw sanctions or subsidies against the United States for their green subsidy policies that the Biden administration put out.
Well, I think the most intelligent comment that has been made about the green policy, and I'm saying this for you, CFS, one of the smartest men in the world, Joe Biden, says that the green policy, if we don't adhere to it, that's more dangerous than a nuclear war.
I think, you know, it probably in the long term absolutely will have more damage to the global economy, to individuals. More people will die. over time. I don't know. I mean, it depends on how much of a nuclear war there is, but I doubt that we're going to have any type of nuclear exchange.
Oh, I completely doubt that. Yeah, people aren't, human beings are not stupid.
Well, I mean, there's no value. The Russians are not going to light a tactical nuke off when, in fact, it wouldn't do anything for them.
Right.
You know, unless they wanted to destroy Kiev and a few million people, there's no value in it.
No.
And there's just not. No, it would cost them too much. Great. And, of course, the response would be so great.
Yeah.
It would destroy the country. The only thing that's going to destroy Russia right now is if they continue down this road of destroying their own military.
Yeah.
If they think that they're somehow going to impact the outcomes here. And this is just, it's becoming so obvious that they will not be long-term successful in their economic policy, in their global diplomatic relations, even militarily on the ground, to take control of the regions that they're trying to take control of without just an unbelievable cost to their nation.
Yeah.
They are going to isolate themselves, and it's very unlikely that there's going to become a two-tiered system like there was in the former, you know, Cold War days, where Russia, China, and India, say, for example, all bind together. It's not going to happen. India is a democracy. That's not going to happen. China still depends on European and U.S. markets for their financial survival.
You bet.
Not just success, but their survival.
You bet.
So the probability of Russia and China partnering up against the West is unrealistic. And with 140 million people in Russia, and they have 150 different ethnicities.
Yeah.
They've got a very big problem in their southern area with expanding Islamic pushes.
Uh-huh.
They keep the control of that through violent action.
Yep.
They're not going to do well.
No.
In long term, this is a very bad decision for them.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. Jimmy, we've been going quite a while yet. All I can say is it's been an interesting conversation. I would like to have some more free-for-alls like this one, and maybe we can start that as early as tomorrow. Who knows? Jim, have a good rest of the Thursday.
Yeah, you bet, Al. Thank you.